Yo, what's bappin', sports fans? Aaron and Stefan, not premium, regular premium on our free feed. Normal episode for the week. Big Canucks win last night. Man.
I was responsible for it.
Oh, really? Please go on.
Yeah, I posted this in the Discord, but I was at a Mother's Day thing for the first period.
Okay.
So I missed that. Obviously, the Canucks had a huge first period.
Mm-hmm.
What we thought was a Brock Besser hat trick, but two goals from Besser, one from Lindholm. Second period, I was watching a little bit of. Mm-hmm. And I believe Edmonton scored in the second, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And I did see the Lindholm goal, but for the most part, I was like up and down because we're moving in like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so I was up and down into like storage and like the garbage room and just getting rid of shit. And so I was like seeing part of the game, but every time I came back, something good would happen for Edmonton. And every time I left the room, something good happened for the Canucks. So
nice.
I think I played a big role.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
So the game happened during my Sunday stream on FYM, and like I've missed a couple streams because of games. Felt a little bit guilty, I guess. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll watch like, or I'll be on stream for like the first hour. Then once the game starts, like maybe I'll like, you know, just watch 5 minutes with like the game muted on my other screen and then go finish it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I just kind of got wrapped up in streaming. And it was kind of helping my like general anxiety about the game. So I was watching it all and I don't know if it got clipped or not, but like I had my towel and would start fucking waving it around and freaking out silently when like the Canucks was scoring the first period. It really didn't help like having some of the awful videos that we were watching playing while like Edmonton was on a power play. Cause it made me like doubly nervous and upset feeling.
Oh my god. Yeah.
It looked like the Canucks played a really good first period, or at least like an even first period.
Yeah.
Clearly they scored the three goals. Let's see. Yeah, in the first period, Corsi was even. Canucks had a better Fenwick, so they had more shots. This is all at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
And a higher expected goals. That trend did not continue in periods two and three. But I wonder how much of that is score effects, right? And like the fact that the Oilers, their top line is a fucking atom bomb, right? And
I mean, 30 minutes a game for McDavid and Draisaitl, right?
Yeah. Like, so like when they're score affecting, I feel like it's just like turned up a lot. And the Canucks are clearly comfortable kind of just sitting back and defending.
It's working so far. I mean, I don't know how long they can keep it going for, but
like, I don't know like at what level they're happy with that type of play. Like, I'm pretty sure they didn't like their second period.
No.
They looked a lot more shelled in that period. And then they were like slightly less shelled in the third, but it was more controlled.
Yeah.
Just looking at the underlings, fucking in the
it's not good.
In the second period, the Canucks had a 16% expected goals. And I mean, they held like the Oilers to no goals at 5-on-5. Like they had two power play goals and then they had a goal 6-on-5 with the goalie pulled. Were you starting to feel real anxious when JT Miller hit that post on the empty net?
So after they scored, I saw the post and then they scored right after, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need to go take something down into storage right now or out of storage. So I left and then the Canucks won.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to do it and it worked. I was very nervous and I was just following along on the Discord on my phone. And I was like, I can't be here because I'm bad luck. It feels like right now.
Hmm. That's difficult because like,
it's tough.
Obviously
it's
we
tough.
Want the Canucks to win, but like you also host a Canucks podcast.
I know.
So
I watched the highlights and the last 2 minutes of stuff afterwards, of course. But I was like, in my head, I was like, man, like I know what's happening here. It's one of those games where like I'm affecting it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, I have to, I think that happened in game one as well.
Interesting.
Not with me, but with someone in our Discord. I want to say it was Yaya in our Discord who was like,
oh yeah. They were like, I remember that too.
They were like, I've been watching the game and whenever I'm watching the Oilers score, whenever I go away, the Canucks score, I'm leaving for the rest of the game or something like that.
That's
and then
good,
it worked. So
So I don't think you can assume that you're having a like astral effect on every game. But right. when you notice it happening in a game, by all yeah. means, write it out, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think it's going to happen every game, of course, but I wanted to be 100% sure.
That's,
you know,
that's
I mean?
A good fan right there. That's not selfish.
Yeah, yep, I had to do it. So
my biggest fuck up like that was not the latest Rugby World Cup, but the one prior to that.
Yeah.
England was in the finals, and I root for England. They were playing South Africa.
Yeah.
And I wasn't planning on watching it because it was like at 2 a.m.
Right.
And I like randomly woke up. This was like on a Saturday after having gone to bed kind of early. I'm like, you know what? Rugby World Cup's on. Oh, I think England's up. Oh, let's go watch the game. And then they fucking lost.
Of course, yeah.
So if I just stayed in bed, I probably would have woken up to a England win the World Cup. Yeah. But hey, yeah. what can you do?
What can you do? Yeah, but I mean, overall, I mean, obviously the big story is the suspension, right?
Yeah, you want to get into all that?
Yeah, well, I will say, I mean, on this very show, I did make the prediction there will be at least one suspension in this series.
Yeah.
there could have been more than one.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying. Hyman didn't get anything, but I mean, they didn't have like a great angle of it, I guess. But Zadorov got stitches after getting cross-checked in the face. So I feel like...
Yeah.
The McDavid one obviously looks much worse, you know.
And that's why he got suspended, right? And it was like it was way easier to see.
It looked like he broke his neck. Like, it looked really bad.
It was like a really nasty clip that was spreading around social media.
For sure. Yeah.
I think my true opinion is that it should have been a lot of fines for everybody and no suspension. I think that's where I finally landed on it. But I've also...
But one game is, like, about the best you can hope for.
Yeah, like, I can also see... Like, if I'm trying to be partisan or whatever, I could see why maybe that warrants a suspension, even though, like, there wasn't intent. But I think if there was intent, probably a longer suspension. And, like, the NHL's really... They're really on the ball when it comes to, like, sticks to the head... Mm-hmm. And shit, like, after whistles and after games especially, right?
Yes.
So it had two factors that are really, like, this guy's probably going to get suspended. I'm glad it's only one game. That's next man up. Like, I think Noah Juulsen will be perfectly serviceable.
And Juulsen's going to go in and, like, destroy somebody, I think, too. The problem is he'll put himself out of position a lot of the time, but I think he's going to get in there and, like, take someone's head off.
Next year, Noah Juulsen is going to be one of the top six defensemen on this team. I'm like certain of it. So like, it's, and like, I think he's earned the credibility to be like an everyday NHL defenseman. I think my biggest concern for game four with that is Soucy and Myers have been pretty hard matched against McDavid this entire series.
Yeah.
And I mean, despite like, insane like underlying numbers, McDavid was held without a point last night.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Which is crazy. Like you don't hold McDavid without a point in the playoffs. Noah Strang was tweeting about it. Where the hell? I thought I had it pulled up. Oh yeah, this is the first time he's gone pointless this postseason, and the last time he failed to record a point in a playoff game was May 8th, 2023. So like a year ago.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Had 6 games with 0 points after Christmas this year. So while they're getting caved in, they're doing something right. Like, JT Miller has outscored, like that line has outscored them at 5-on-5 in the series so far.
Yeah.
Which is also nutty given how much defending they've done. But I think it's a testament to like that line's defensive capabilities and what Myers and Soucy are doing. So I have to wonder what Tockett's defensive plan is, or his plan for like defending,
because you know McDavid's gonna come back so hard too, right?
Yeah, like do you try doing a like Hughes-Hronek pairing there instead? We kind of talked about that on the Patreon episode, right?
Yeah.
Could be a potential thing you look at. Do you go Zadorov Myers? I know they tried that pairing earlier in the year. That's a lot more chaotic. But if the idea is like, long sticks, big bodies, pin and wear them down like it had been with Susie, that could work. I don't think you want any part of Cole being there, and I assume you're going to get a Cole-Juleson pairing, right?
No, that would be terrifying. I mean, Zadorov is like in their heads, which is great, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Given what he's been doing, but he is still Zadorov, and like as good as he's been, he can be really, really chaotic sometimes, right?
Oh, so, yeah. But I, like, so, what's the other option, right?
I know.
Like,
yeah, it's not great. I mean, I think we still have more defensive depth than they do. Like the Nurse CC pairing is just like losing them the series, basically.
Oh my god, that. One more thing about the defense. I do want to talk about Nurse and CC.
Yeah. But
another thought I had today, maybe, do you do like, this is so weird if you like think back to a year ago, but is your big shutdown pair like Hughes Myers? And then you do like a Hronik Zadorov?
Maybe.
Because then you have like Hughes, who you probably trust way more than Zadorov out there against McDavid. And then you still have the big body of Tyler Myers. It's fucking crazy to think about that, because that was like the Chase lead duo that you might see under Boudreaux that you would trust to defend anything like a year ago. But just like given how Myers has elevated his game under Tocca, I could kind of see that happening.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, Hronik by himself never really jumps off the page or off the ice when it's...
He's been... I just wonder if he's like hurt or something. Like I know that's not always the case, but he just seems like he's been a different player in the second half of the year, right? And I forget if it was you who mentioned it. Someone said they saw him like holding some body, like a wrist. Or I don't know what it was.
But I don't notice that type of stuff. That would have been somebody else.
Well, I think it was maybe you reading a post that someone said.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And again, this is just cope maybe and like just making excuses. But like he just does not look like the same player he looked like at the start of the year. Maybe he's just not built for the playoffs, you know? And
yeah, but like this dates back to like really the All-Star break, right?
Oh, for sure. But it's more that he just seems to be getting worse and worse, right? Like it's not.
Yeah, he's had some good games this playoffs. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's been actively that detrimental.
Yeah,
I feel bad for poor Ian Cole as well. Like that third goal.
The goal yesterday was a total fluke.
Yeah,
it's just the worst person possible for it to
bounce.
He's
doing like a nice box out at the side of the net, and then it just bounces off his body like perfectly to Zach Hyman that scored, right? Like that sucks. And then like the first power play goal that Edmonton scored, again, weird bounce off his skate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was he the one defending in front? It was off of Myers' skate. I forget, but he was involved in some way, and I feel like it was like complete bad luck. Was it Cole and Hronik out there on that first goal?
It might have been.
You're at your mom's, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, it was still a very stressful game to watch.
Oh, yeah, it's incredibly stressful. That's the joy of playoff hockey, right?
For sure.
Like you're wound up so tight for the game, and then afterwards it's like it's almost a release. Like when the Canucks lose, I'm upset.
Sure.
But that lasts like all of 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, what happens next? How do we move on from here? And then after they win, it's just elation and me like daydreaming about like the eventual cup win.
It was just like, I mean, the best thing to come out of it. And I think anyone could have predicted this, but just the fact that just literally the fact that after game two, and some missed calls against the Canucks, obviously, or for the Canucks. Oilers fans are like, you guys just love complain. Like, all you do is complain. Spectre wrote
Oilers
that fucking
fans,
shitty
yeah,
article.
Fucking Mark Spectre wrote
God, the media was just, Canucks fans, all they do is complain. And then after game three, they are complaining so much and just like zero self-awareness whatsoever.
It rocks.
To turn on a dime like that from the whole like, oh, you guys, no one, who complains about the refs? Like, that's out of your control. It just happens, you know? And then, complaining about the refs more than we have at all this postseason, I think. Like, it's really insane how much was it the Staples post where he's like,
oh, I got him pulled up already.
Okay, excellent.
All right, so this is from David Staples. Famously, in 2011, he posted the picture of the,
urinal?
Well, it wasn't a urinal.
It was
a sink
that he said should be a urinal,
He thought was a urinal. He thought it was very, very... because
I mean,
it was like one of those
moron.
Circular sinks that a bunch of water
with,
comes
like,
out
the soap
of.
Soap and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
he thought it was like a trough that you piss in.
Oilers fans deserve their media, and it really is. It's not only the worst in Canada, it's the worst in the NHL. It's so fucking bad. It's like crazy how bad it is. And Anyway, David Staples.
Yeah. So he says, Susie should get 4 games. 2 game for the savage act itself.
Okay. That's fine. You know what? 2 games? Sure. That's, yeah. But then it just goes off the rails.
1 game here. Because Hat came after end of game, not a hockey play. Well, okay. I mean, like, it was obviously an accident. Like, that.
It's the playoffs,
saying I wanted
too.
To cross-check him in the chest, not a great defense. But, I mean, he also didn't want to cross-check him in the head. It was because Zadorov got him from behind.
Right after, too. So,
well, he got slashed before the cross-check.
Yeah, he got slashed.
He got two-handed whacked, which, not a suspendable offense. Probably not even a finable offense. That's whatever. Them's the breaks. I kind of chalk the whole thing up to this is boys being boys. Anyways, the best part of this David Staples post. 1 game for his malignant grin as he assaults McDavid.
Him smiling was so funny. It was so good.
Don't suspend. It's a free-for-all, social media reacts. And then there's 2 really good ones from Terry Jones.
Terry Jones had a really good
one. Who is a hockey Hall of Famer.
Been around for a long time.
And a ghoul who's employed by Post Media. But this morning, decided to wait until morning to see if I felt the same way. God. I do. Irma, that's where Carson Soucy's from. Irma's Carson Soucy should be suspended for the rest of the playoffs for post-game cross-check to the face of Connor McDavid. Defining decision for the Department of Player Safety involves greatest player in game. I love these fucking...
It's just like these triggered snowflakes, so dramatic. You look at them compared to the Vancouver media, who is like, Vancouver media is like very, I don't want to say beaten down, but it's like, look, like it's 54 years without a cup. Like this is just like proof that Oilers fans are just the softest fans in the world, right? Like they, you know, when you consider, and I mean, how many times have I harped on this, but you wonder why they're so soft. And then you realize that a 10-year period where they got 4 first overall picks, including Connor McDavid, they refer to it as the decade of darkness. Like, give me a fucking break. You know? And I was looking more into the Oilers potentially moving in the 90s. And I know a lot of it has to do with the Canadian dollar, obviously.
Yeah.
But they were like a day away from moving to Houston. And they needed a bunch of Edmonton businessmen to pull
a
bunch
of
money together.
Yeah, didn't they get like a whole cabal of
them? Yeah, so they got a group of Edmonton businessmen, put all their money together, and saved the team. And my question for Oilers fans, if you are listening to this for whatever reason, thank you. But my question is, like, do you honestly think if they hadn't won 5 Stanley Cups that the businessmen would come together and save the team?
Because
I don't. There's no chance. They're just baby shit soft, and it's so funny to see anyone could have predicted it, but just the instant turnaround in their mood to being like, oh my god, no, the refs are out to get us.
I hate the fucking the false equivalency that you hear about it. Like, I heard David Amber on the radio today, and I like David Amber. He is like, he's like a puppy, like very like keen, eager, seems like a great, nice guy, always very supportive of the Canucks and like every Canadian market. Right.
Yeah.
And he was talking, like, I think the social media beefs were coming back and forth, and he was talking about how they're like 2 crazed markets. Like, Vancouver hasn't won a cup in their entire 54-year existence.
Yeah.
And the Oilers haven't won a cup in over 30 years, like in generations.
Give me a fucking break. They are not the same level of crazed. Oilers fans are fucking soft losers. Maybe if you're an Oilers fan who like grew up in the 90s and didn't remember any of the cups. I mean, I don't have any sympathy for
you
whatsoever.
You can watch a documentary. It would be fucking dope to do that.
I don't have sympathy for them at all, obviously, but I understand it a little bit more from them, right?
Yeah.
In terms, compared to the older fans who remember all that and are still complaining.
Yeah,
and it's this
Terry Jones guy, his pin post is like, okay, it's Troy Terry and then someone with the last name Jones from the Ducks, like next to each other, and their numbers are 1949. He says, close, I was born in 1948. So this fucking old codger is, 76 years old?
Yeah.
Like, he was around for all of it. Fuck you.
Of course. I mean, just the most entitled, spoiled, softest fan base around. Would not last a minute as a Canucks fan or a fan of any team that sucks and that has been shit most of their existence. And I truly do believe, and I'll explicitly say this again, if the Canucks and Oilers switched histories, if the Oilers switched histories with the Winnipeg Jets, hell, even if they switched histories with the Calgary Flames and only had one Stanley Cup win, they would have moved in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And that's pathetic. The fact that they came that close to moving in the 90s with five cup wins and having had Wayne Gretzky on their team, that's embarrassing. Nutty. I would be embarrassed if I was a fan. That's embarrassing.
Anyway. Another thing about Edmonton media is Mark Spector was also on 650 today, which was interesting. And
yeah,
it's weird. I think that Spector is kind of self-aware when he does this stuff. Like, I know he's self-aware, actually.
Right, on some level, yeah.
He knows he's going to get a rise. He knows he's going to get clicks, and that's kind of, like, what he's there for. Because whenever I hear him talk, he is not the same persona that he is online.
No.
But
Which I respect that a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, part of me, like appreciates, like, a good troll or whatever. But he got me real good today, where he was on the radio and was, like, he was talking about Alex Burrows, and he's like, if Alex Burrows walked, like, he'd say, "Hey, Speck, how's it going?" Would shake hands and have a beer. And he was trying to say that secretly in his heart, he wanted the Canucks to win in 2011 so he could write about a Canucks Stanley Cup win.
Give me a break. There's no way that's true.
Credit to Jamie Dodd. Like, when he was signing off, Dodd said he looks forward to reading Spector's tit piece on the Edmonton fans that were chanting, "Ref, you suck," at the game last night.
Dude, what I mean, look, I think they're talking about the next game. I think there's I could see the Canucks just getting blown out of the water. You know, it could happen. I wouldn't be surprised. I think we said this before, if they get a split in Edmonton, we'll be happy. Well, they've already got the split in Edmonton.
Like, if
game five is going to be crazy, whatever happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the exact? I need to actually look at the schedule here, because
it's just every second day. That plays into the Canucks' hands because of how much they're fucking riding McDavid and Draisaitl and Bouchard like a mule. So the ice time yesterday,
and I will say that does work for me in terms of the move as well, because I'm moving on the Friday. I'll still have TV and internet here on the Thursday. And then I'll have internet and stuff set up at the new place for the Saturday.
So
if necessary.
Yeah, if necessary. Evan Bouchard, 31 and a half minutes. This game didn't go to overtime. Connor McDavid, 29:42. Leon Draisaitl, 29 minutes. Zach Hyman, 26 minutes. Ekholm, 23. And Nuge, the sixth man, 22 minutes. Low man was Janmark, who had six. Fogel played eight, Connor Brown played eight, Derek Ryan played 7.5. Vincent Desharnais only played 10 minutes on defense.
Okay.
Brent Kulak played 13.5 minutes. CeCe, just under 16. The Canucks' high man in ice time was Tyler Myers at just under 23 minutes. JT played just under 22. Quinn played 21. Besser played just under 21. Lindholm played just over 20. Wow. Pettersson barely played last night.
I didn't notice him at all yesterday in a good or bad way, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like I'm a little bit worried, of course, you know.
Yeah, interesting thing about that. Pettersson only had just under 16 minutes of ice time, which amongst forwards, I guess, is fourth behind JT, Brock, and Lindholm.
Okay.
So it does look like they split the time up. Connor Garland only had 11 minutes of total ice time. Also,
I didn't see him out there at all.
Also kind of weird. Yeah, no, I think what happened is they were just trying to get JT Miller out against the McDavid line as much as humanly possible. And
Miller had some big hits yesterday too.
Miller's so fucking cool, man.
He's really cool. You got your jersey on.
I was kind of cold, but
man, I mean, I know I've been figuring out whose jersey I'm going to get, and obviously sort of waiting until the move settles down and everything. But after last night, I mean, a Susie jersey, we know he's signed for a while.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was you, I'd wait to see if Zadorov gets re-signed and goes Zadorov.
That's kind of what I want to do, because that's just too cool right?
Doing playing the meta here.
Yeah.
And recalling back to how I saw fucking Kuzmenko jerseys in the team store, and so I knew they were going to re-sign him and not trade him when he was at his highest value.
Yeah.
I think, like, Aquilini will probably push pretty hard for them to retain Zadorov just because he's, like, so marketable,
he's gonna sell,
right?
He's so marketable, such a fan favorite. When I was at game two against Nashville, they played, they do these little, like, videos on the Jumbotron of, like, Canucks players as, like, I think they had Pedersen as, like, Neo from the Matrix, but they had Zadorov as the Terminator.
Oh,
when he like
sick.
Shows when he shows up like naked and like steals the guy's bike and clothes, and but it was Zadorov's face, and it was so good.
Man, we need theme music to do like a weekly Nikita Zadorov is cool bit.
I know.
Him knocking Evander Kane into the bench was so fucking sick. Smiling in the press box as those guys were fucking yelling at him.
That guy
Edmonton
was going nuts at his. Yeah, that was so funny, man. And I mean, that's the thing where like. You see the Oilers fans being like, oh, Canucks fans are so stupid. They're not classy. They're such assholes. And it's like, well, you see a video like that, and it's like, I'm not going to paint all Oilers fans with a broad brush. I did that 10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
but
that was a joke.
Yeah, but I do think it's like, okay, well, you look at that, and it's like, that's just every fan base. And obviously, the bigger, crazier fan bases are going to have more fans like that, right?
Totally.
And like, the Canucks have a lot of like, stupid moron fans. They
do. They chant Skinner after he makes like a good save or whatever.
Man,
he hasn't even let a goal in yet.
They don't know
like,
when to chant Skinner.
They immediately stop signing up for a fucking credit card from the concourse, then walk down just to chant Skinner for no reason.
Yeah, that was the thing I was always saying during the Benning years is that the Canucks fans lead the league in signing up for credit cards at games to get a blanket that says Vancouver Canucks on it. But so look, as an Oilers fan, don't talk to me about how stupid Canucks fans are, because they're fucking stupid. But you know what? Those are our guys.
Yeah.
And it's
those
fun.
Are our shooters.
It's fun going into battle with those morons, you know? I love it.
Oh man,
it's great.
That was like such a funny thing from all the crying the triggered snowflakes in the Edmonton media.
Yeah.
It was just like going and seeing accounts underneath making fun of them. From like the Canucks sphere. Like I feel like the Canucks Twitter has some of like the highest tier posters when it comes to like being mean and getting a rise out of people. And you can see these like larger Oilers accounts saying like, I'm fucking tapping out, man. This isn't even fun anymore.
It's so funny, man. Oilers fans post like Elon Musk reply guys. They all post like they have Twitter blue. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They post the cry laughing emoji. They'll be like, I guess you're going to go, riot in the streets, after you guys lost. And by the way, you've never won a Stanley Cup before. And then obviously if you poke them at all a little bit, they'll get like super racist too, which is like insane.
I mean, I should laugh at that, but I'm laughing because it's
like,
true.
It's like, God damn. I like the amount of just like, awful racism you see. And look, again, this is me not trying to paint every Oilers fan with a broad brush, but I see it a hell of a lot more from Oilers fans. Like they'll snap and get racist like really, really fast compared to Canucks fans, I feel like.
Yeah, there
and, I do think part of that is like Canucks fans growing up in a multicultural city.
Yeah.
I think that does make a difference, you know?
Yeah. There's one today from just, yeah, like an Oilers Twitter account. So interacting with Canucks Twitter this series has given me a newfound appreciation for Kings and Avs Twitter, LOL. Just an entire fan base going from writing fanfics about the league conspiring against them to shrieking anyone questioning the refs is a whiner in one weekend.
But that's and what then, they did the other way around.
I know. And a friend of the show, Best Mode, replied, it's unfair to paint an entire fan base with this rush.
So
it got me so good. As a Canucks fan, there are a ton of great people on Canucks Twitter to interact with. I do have a question for you, though, as an Oilers fan that I'd be curious to get your answer. Were you crying when you typed this?
God, that's really good, man.
It's
so
such
good.
A good setup to just like a very
to get him
mean
to read
punchline.
All that and then,
oh,
yeah.
It rocked. It got me
it's
so
wonderful.
Good at work today.
It's so nice to see.
Back to the Canucks for a second. You said you didn't notice Elias Pettersson. I was looking at just the Canucks forwards lines on Natural Stat Trick, as I am wont to do.
Yeah.
The only line with a positive Corsi, expected goals, etc., was the Pettersson-McKayev-Carlson line.
Okay. Carlson, I thought, looked pretty good from what I saw of him.
Yeah, like, there was nothing that jumped out, but he was, like, winning battles.
He fit. And Amon was good, too, I thought, as well.
I mean, I'm a huge Amon apologist.
Oh, I know how
Not
you,
just
I know
because
how you feel
he gave
him,
me a fist
yeah.
bump, but, like, both Wranglers, Abbotsford Canucks games I went to in person, he scored, like, fucking sick goals. And then I hear people say, he doesn't have the scoring touch, but... You guys weren't at the games. You didn't see those fucking snipes like I did. So, like, I believe in the guy. He was great on the penalty kill. Tockett trusted him with, like, less than 10 minutes left last night, which I think is huge. And just, like, for that increased penalty killing capability, I think he should stay in over Phil DiGiuseppe. Yeah. And honestly, what I saw from Carlson last night, and, like, Jason Bruff posted some real good, like, individual expected goals numbers for the Canucks. And Hoglander was way shittier than I would have
guessed.
He's
been, as much as I love Hoglander, as good as his advanced stat, like, you know, obviously he was shooting at a very high clip as well.
Yeah.
And so that was bound to crash down a little bit. But man, it's just like night and day, right?
It, like, Carlson, from what I gathered last night, looked better on the line, which I hate to say. Like, I was being snarky about it on Twitter that, like, whenever you can scratch a 24 goal score for Linus Carlson, you got to do it. But it shows me right for doubting the fucking wisdom of Rick Tockett once again, because
it's Carlson, the playoffs,
really,
I guess,
good.
You know,
I don't know if you heard Tockett after the game. He said he got good intel from Abbotsford that Carlson would be really good to slot in. So he was like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. And I mean, he was good. Like,
he was.
That line. In that game yesterday, which the Canucks, let's go scroll up here. For the entire game, the Canucks had expected goals of 39% and a Corsi 4 of 30.5. That's fucking dog shit, right?
Yeah.
The Pedersen line had a Corsi of 63% and expected goals of 77%.
Okay.
I mean, they only played 5 minutes, but, like, that's the same amount of time the, like, Lindholm, Garland, Joshua line played.
Yeah.
22% Corsi.
Lindholm is so cool, dude. He's so cool.
I really want him back so bad.
I know. He's legitimately really good.
He's
just a different, it's night and day. He's a different player compared to
the
40 games we saw in the regular season. And, like, this is why you get players like this, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was like a great acquisition. I was listening to 32 Thoughts this morning, and Elliot Friedman said that he believes if, like, money was no issue, there was no salary cap, that Lindholm would be priority number one for the Canucks to get signed out of anybody, be it Hronik, Zadorov, Joshua, Myers, whatever.
Man.
Which
makes sense, I feel like,
feels
to an extent.
Like,
the way he's playing now, like,
he's going to get
so
JT
good
Miller
defensively.
Money.
He's just got such good IQ. Oh, absolutely. Like, he's just like, man, I mean, he's getting a good contract again based on how he's playing in the playoffs. He's just he's such a smart player out there. It's so nice to see. And he just feels so calm when he's on the ice, you know?
Like, okay, let's do some quick. Well, that probably doesn't work. I just wonder if they could actually, like, offer him 8 years. It's like slightly less AAV. Right. And get that, like, extra year out.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or does, like, the market dictate that, like, if he could get, like, 7 times 9, $63 million versus, I don't know, 7.5 times 8, $60 million. I don't know. I don't know. I just have a suspicion that, one, it's going to be a pretty crazy off season. I mean, it kind of has to be with the amount of expiring contracts the Canucks have.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to see them take some swings. And I hope, like, Lindholm's had a good enough time here and has seen, like, the light. I'm just hoping, like, a lot of players that are on this current team have,
I mean, this run has been, I think this is the type of playoff run where this happens and you have players who want to sign discounted contracts. And I think to look at, like, something like Toronto, where that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and
like,
you,
like,
you wonder if it's
like,
because they didn't go on any runs, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
I'm thinking, like, not insane bargains, but
yeah.
You know, just, like, slightly lower than what they could get at UFA to allow a better team to be built around it, right?
Yeah.
It would be really funny if they, like, flipped Hronik somewhere, which I kind of wonder, given his performance over the last half of the
season. I really think they're going to, but what are you going to get for him?
Yeah, where are you
going to
get for him? But, I mean, a team that needs a power play quarterback, he could probably do that. Like, if he went to the Leafs, he'd be the fucking the defenseman on the first unit power play over Morgan Rielly, I would expect. I'm sure there's other teams like that that would be willing to pay for it. There's stupid GMs out there, right? Like, you'll look and see 54 points and like, yeah, this guy's definitely worth $8 million or whatever. I just hope that's not here.
I mean, I don't know. We can mock up some Hronek trades on a later episode, I'm sure. But yeah, man, it's crazy the Canucks are here given where they were like a year ago, right? Like it's
a team of destiny, man.
It sometimes feels like it, and you don't want to think that way, obviously. But like, you know, obviously they could be down 2-1, they could be down 3-0 in the series.
Yeah.
But they could be up 3-0 in the series fairly easily.
It's been pretty close. Like,
yeah.
As weird as it was, that was a fairly decisive Canucks win despite the ice being so tilted.
Yeah.
In the second half, because like they scored the one with the 6-on-5 goal, but like they were holding on to a 2-goal lead with, I mean, we've seen this flip the other way, but with 3 minutes left, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just something to it. I think back to like what we were saying back in October, November, we even named a title of an episode, like, why not us? And that's kind of what I've come back to. Like, someone's got to fucking do it. Like, nobody expected them to get this far. Definitely, based on all those, like, ESPN predictions, not many people even expected them to win two games in this series.
Shout out to Ryan Clark.
Yeah, my man. And yet, here we are with a favorable result tomorrow. They could be up, like, 3-1 on the Oilers. I think the Oilers are going to come out pretty strong. But, like...
They've come out strong in the other games, too, right? But, and, like...
Did you see the first shift where like Lindholm Joshua both creamed Ekholm and then Garland was being a little fucker with McDavid?
Yeah, I love it.
It really set the tone for the first period. The Canucks get a 2-goal lead and then they sit back on it. And you can disagree with the tactic of sitting back on it, but I mean, it worked.
And I mean, we haven't even really talked about Shilovs yet, but
oh my God.
Holy shit. He's so what a guy. Good. He's really, really
and
good.
He's
it's crazy.
Cool. Did you
he's
see
so
his post game?
Cool, yeah, dude. Oh my God. Because after Draisaitl, he was specifically asked about. He gave a quote that was like pretty inflammatory, but he was kind of asked about it, and he did say afterwards, like obviously he's playing well, but like. Yeah, still a very funny quote to say, like, Post is not good goaltending.
Yeah, well, was that the Brasso tweet? Or Brat tweet? Quote. Barrasso. I'm sure it'll be up at the top when I look on x.com. Search instead for Barrasso. Okay, here we go. You want me to stop the ones that are going wide too? Which, I mean, hitting the post in good shooting. And, like, that's a key difference from this game, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Canucks' big 40-goal scorer, Brock Besser, he got his looks and he fucking capitalized on them.
Yeah.
The 140-point whatevers, Leon Draisaitl, they weren't capitalizing on the looks that they got at even strength. That was the key difference in the game. The Canucks outscored them at evens, and they were able to keep pace with them on the power play. Two key kills
the
late
Canucks
in the game.
The Canucks are 3-for-9 on the power play. Oilers are 4-for-8. It's not that far off. You know? Like, as vaunted as the Oilers' power play is, and like, look,
it looks
terrifying.
Insane.
It's so scary. I every time the Canucks take a penalty, I'm like, okay, well, this is a goal for sure.
Yeah.
It's just how it feels, obviously. But the Canucks are scoring at a pretty high clip on the power play as well, and that's a huge reason
God
that they're
Stuart
up 2-1.
Stuart Skinner, right?
He sucks, man. He's so bad.
But and that, like, back to CeCe and Nurse that we said we were going to talk about earlier. And shout out Warren Fogle as well for coughing up that puck. Those breakdowns in the first period on, like, the two Brock Besser goals, not the the Elias Lindholm tip on the power play, like... It's not like those were bad goals. And even like the Lindholm tip, right? Like that's That's tough to say.
That's how hard that's going to go in on most goalies.
I think the one you might question is the fourth Lindholm goal, but like that was also, I think he was even partially screened. It was,
and he like Lindholm kicked it to himself, made a really cool play. Yeah.
And then boom, it's in the net. Like, I don't even think he's been that bad, but I mean, he's been bad because he has like a sub 800 save percentage. So the Canucks, there's, you know, you make fun of when other teams do it. Like, they just pick their shots and they just pick higher quality scoring chances.
But that is what their strategy actually seems to be, you know?
It does. There's been some really good talk about this on the PDO cast. There was one like two Fridays back where I shouldn't recite. Just go listen to the one from 2 weeks back. Where they don't even care about like the shot clock on the TV anymore because teams like Carolina have kind of ruined that as an indicator of how the game's going. And even if a shot doesn't hit the net, if there's a chance out of it, especially a high danger chance, the goalie has to be just as like in the game and active. So it's like just as difficult, right? Like there's
for sure.
I mean, last game, the Oilers had way more high danger chances, but Silovs was great. He stood on his head. He made huge key saves at big moments. The breakaway save on Draisaitl. The one at the end of the game that like it wouldn't have counted because time would have ran out. But when he like goes across and gloves it, like that Eastwood.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
He is so cool. And then,
he's so cool under pressure. And then I mean, if you're gonna talk about it now, but his quotes in the post game.
So Farhan asks him. Says, you made a key save off Draisaitl late in the period. Can you take us through that one? And he says, which one? and like, like I'm reading from the Daily Hive article. He wasn't trying to be cocky. And if you listen to it, Rob Williams tweeted it out, the clip. He says, like, I actually don't remember. And then they like jarred his memory. And he was like, oh, yeah, I was just waiting patiently for him to do the first move. He's like so nonchalant and just fucking cool and chill.
He's great. And he's 23 years old as well. Like, it's insane.
I think Dhaliwal today was saying that Demko could possibly be back for game 6 or 7.
Yes.
And there's
do you put him in though? Cold? Like, I don't know that you do.
It depends on how the games go, right? Like, sure. If they get
hopefully we don't get to game six or seven.
Right? Like, I mean, ideal world, it's done in game 5 and you have a bunch of time to rest up. Actually, the Edmonton Dallas game is going on right now.
Oh, Dallas is winning 3-1, I think. Yeah.
So, I mean, the hope is that that series goes along as well. I would never count the Avalanche fully out, but I mean, there's also some drama going on there. Back to Demko for a second here. I think you just ride out Silovs for the rest of the series.
I kind of agree. The way he's playing, right?
Like, yeah, because he's been phenomenal. There's no other way to put it. He's the man. He's definitely going to be the backup next year. I think there's no question about that now.
Yeah,
which is great. That should save the Canucks some money. Avalanche quickly. So Valerie Nichushkin. Suspended.
Yeah, what's going on there?
So he got suspended for six months for like a Class 3 violation of the was it the NHLPA player assistance program?
Yeah,
which I guess is a punitive abstinence only recovery program, which we all know has been proven to work better than any other method, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Seems kind of shitty. I forget who was the player that spoke out about it last year, saying like he would caution anybody against going into it.
Let's see.
I think it might have been talked about in Discord. It seems like the vibes around the Avalanche, and this dates back to like the entire season when they were like bickering about each other's dads in the Finnish media.
Was it Kuznetsov?
Scott Darling.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
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 Scott, let's look up Scott Darling player assistance program and get some actual fucking reporting going on here. Retired goalie Scott Darling blasts NHLPA and NHL for the player assistance program. Quote, they're monsters.
Ooh, well, that does not sound good.
Yeah, so he was on the What Chaos podcast with Pete Blackburn. And he refuted a comment by Pete Blackburn, who said the program's a good thing. Quote, okay. Fuck them. I told players about what I went through. If you need help, do it on your own. Don't ever go through the PA. I'll say honestly, I hope guys fucking hear this. They're monsters. They're trying to make you break your contract. If you walk out the door, then the NHL can break your contract.
Man.
Yeah, and like he's suspended 6 months without pay, and like pretty clearly there's some substance abuse thing going on, right? Like they said he failed a drug test. Yeah, and there's that whole hotel thing last year.
I still don't know what that was about.
So
it's really
bizarre.
It's just strange. Yeah, and obviously he's like one of their best. He's really good. And they're losing right now, right? Mm-hmm. They're still down.
And Taves is out with illness after getting fucking smoked by Jamie Benn. I mean, that's probably not a vibes thing, but it does significantly hurt their team. So you hope Nichushkin like can get the help that he needs, and that's just like a huge bummer all around.
It is, yeah. Damn. Yeah. And Carolina coming back as well.
Yeah.
Game six.
I watched
that's
some of
crazy.
That game earlier today. Yeah.
Man, the punch on the Sandine punch is like from that angle, it's like so crazy.
It's brutal. How's that
it's
not a suspension?
It's so crazy. Because, they said they did have access to it, and they said...
They're like, yeah, fuck it.
It was a hockey play. And it's like, I mean, look, I hate Boston, obviously. Yeah,
couldn't happen to a better guy or franchise.
No, of course. It's very funny that it's happening to them. It's very funny that Gregory Campbell works for the Florida Panthers now. I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, right?
But man, if that happened to a Canuck, you'd be so, so mad, right? Because he straight up punches him in the head and like knocks him out cold. You can see from that angle, he's like out when he gets hit there. Mm-hmm. Like it's crazy. But you know, also extremely funny. So
yeah.
Who am I to judge? Oh boy.
On that note, Gregory Campbell, etc. The Edmonton media. So inflammatory that they got Tony Gallagher out of retirement.
Oh my God, man,
to drop
I love
fucking
it.
Bombs today on Sakaris.
I saw
Price.
This.
So
yeah.
Going back to the Aaron Rome suspension, Tony Gallagher says there was a compensation meeting for the new contract signed by Bettman shortly after the incident. I think the following week. The chairman of the compensation committee happened to be one Jeremy Jacobs, the owner of the goddamn Boston Bruins. Mm. Weird that.
Yeah. Man, the Aaron Rome suspension still fucking pisses me off.
Colin Campbell only stepped away from the series after assigning officials for the series.
I didn't know that. That's insane.
Yeah.
Holy shit. The Kay Whitmore thing, I don't know if you mentioned that, but we all know about that, obviously.
Yeah, the pads.
And the pads. I mean, that's just...
And then Tony Gallagher on Mark Spector. First thing I would ask him is, Mark, how do you know there are no conspiracies? Have you checked all the emails? Have you checked all the texts? Do you have any whistleblowers? Have you solicited any whistleblowers in your vast investigation?
Well, the quote that I like is there's corruption in business, there's corruption in politics, there's corruption in religion, in the IOC and FIFA and every other conceivable sporting organization, but not in the NHL. It's pure and as white as the driven snow. Really? Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, man. Dude. That's why Oilers fans fucking suck, because they're like pro cop, basically. You know what I mean? They're cheering for the cops. They're like, oh, we love the NHL. The NHL is so nice, you know? And it's just like, you know what? I've shit on Oilers fans enough. For this episode, maybe I got to save some for the next episode, but it feels so good to do.
I got one more here. So there's this guy, Jari the Hutt, who it says is a Kings supporter, but his profile picture is Jari Kurri, right?
Okay. Oh, I guess Kurri played for the Kings.
Yeah. But then why not use him in a Kings jersey? But, so it's the Draisaitl like post is not good goaltending clip. This guy will never lead you to a cup. He's 29 this year. He's not young. He's petulant. He takes no accountability. Oilers fans who want him around are still befuddled. I would jettison this dude immediately. Draisaitl must be dealt.
I mean, look, Draisaitl is like unreal and stuff, but he is kind of like...
Oh, yeah, he's a piss baby. Leon Draisaitl.
He's a piss baby for sure. I'm really interested. If, knock on wood, if the Oilers lose in the second round to the Canucks... I mean, I don't know. It's just so crazy that you have Draisaitl on like the best contract in the league. And you have McDavid on like, obviously he's making a lot of money, but it's still McDavid. So there's no amount of money you could pay him that would be like bad, really.
Yeah.
But because you have Darnell Nurse making $9.5 million, like, and Jack Campbell making $5 million, like,
that is insane.
They have just like completely fucked themselves. And it's so refreshing as a Canucks fan too, where like, hey, we don't really have any bad contracts anymore. I want we have like Mikheyev, right?
Yeah. Like pulling up their cap friendly here. So they have $8.9 million in space next season. This includes James Neal still has a buyout on their cap. And then there's the overage. Where do I see that? I just know there's that overage penalty
the thing is,
3.45 for the overage from Connor Brown.
Like, having McDavid only attracts free agents so much when you live in Edmonton. And no offense, but like, legitimately, if you're an NHL player, like, yeah, I think you're signing there if you're like, I'm going to get to play with McDavid. You know what I mean? But you're not attracting big name free agents. It just doesn't really happen, right? That's the case for a lot of Canadian cities, not just Edmonton, of course. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine how bad things? I'm just like preying on their downfall of course. No, but like Draisaitl leaving and then McDavid leaving the year after would just be. They deserve that and more.
Obviously, like a cup would be like the ultimate goal, and just the thought of it is kind of incomprehensible to me.
Yeah.
But like, my personal Stanley Cup is just the Canucks winning this series because of the fucking chaos that would ensue afterwards. Yeah. So the Oilers have $8.9 million in space for next season. And the only players they have signed are McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman, Evander Kane, Nugent Hopkins, Ryan McLeod, Xavier Borgo, it's got to be it.
Borgo, I think, yeah.
And Dylan Holloway, those are the only forwards. And then they have Darnell Nurse, who's 9.25 with the red arrow still till 2030. Ekholm, Bouchard, CeCe, and Brett Kulak. So they need to sign basically an entire bottom six and a defenseman. And they have $8.9 million to do it. So you doubt that their team's getting much better in the offseason.
Their goaltending sucks. It's so bad. Their defense is not great. They're just like, is this it for them? Like, I hope so. You know, yeah. I mean, again, it's only 2-1 in the series.
Well, watch the next episode, Canucks are going to lose like fucking 6-1. And we're going to be it's over. The Canucks need to win game five or else it's going to be
easily six. Happen. Oh my God. Like we said, we're happy to get the split in Edmonton. Like, that's huge. Mm. But man, they just seem like they do seem shook. I don't know. We'll see. And they've shown in the past that they melt down a lot too, right? So
yeah, like it's equally conceivable to me that they come out all guns fucking blazing and it's an absolute torrent against the Canucks that they can't withstand. As I think that the Canucks could also come out and play three periods like they did in the first if it's a close game and there's like no. The Canucks don't have a big lead and like grind out another win in Edmonton. Like, the Canucks have been a good road team all year. They've been very resilient. That's their word. So
yeah,
I guess we'll just have to wait and see, folks.
We'll see.
Don't change that channel.
Do you have any remembering some guys?
No, but I do want to do something else.
Okay.
I want to do the Edmonton restaurant tier list. And
okay, let's do it.
This isn't like, you know, Michelin star restaurants in Edmonton. I know the Michelin guide hasn't been there. I think they've only been to Toronto and Vancouver in Canada. The chicken place that I ate at in Edmonton last year since closed down, RIP to Northern Chicken. But I'm talking, when I say an Edmonton restaurant, I mean restaurants like Earl's or Moxie's, Joey's, those types of places.
Yes.
like the type of restaurant that they have in Edmonton. So Edmonton doesn't even specifically have to have one, because I don't want to like fact check all of this.
Just Edmonton style restaurants.
Edmonton style restaurants, which,
yeah.
How do you,
places they would woo free agents at.
Exactly. So like, yeah. How would you even describe Moxie's? Like, I don't think, are there equivalents to like Moxie's and Earl's in the States? Like, I guess like Applebee's kind of, but like,
yeah, we just talked about this on Block Party with an American guest, and there wasn't really a consensus, because it does seem like a Canadian specific thing of like, and it's weird because you think it would be bigger in the US. There's a couple Joey restaurants in LA, I think. And okay. I feel like Cactus Club is maybe trying to expand as well. But like, there really isn't, because these are like, if you're an American listener, these are like two steps above Applebee's, I would say. Where NHL players will go there.
Yeah.
Like, NHL players in Vancouver will go to Cactus Club.
If you're like 22, right, and you want to go on like a date, and you wear a lot of cologne,
yeah,
you go to like Moxie's or whatever without like doing a lot of thinking. So Wikipedia Moxie's says to me would be a premium casual type restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what do we have? I mean, Moxie's, well, I haven't been there for a while.
Hold up. So this is on the Wikipedia page for types of restaurant.
Okay.
And premium casual originate from Western Canada, include chains such as Cactus Club, Earl's, Moxie's, and Joey. Similar to casual dining, they typically feature a dining room section and a lounge section with multiple televisions, and often feature a focus on drinks and globally inspired food. The concept is popular in Canada. They've started expanding to the U.S., and there's some chains in the U.K., such as Café Rouge and Wildwood Kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah, there you have it. Okay. Like top tier.
S tier for me. I do like Cactus Club a lot.
Yeah.
It's just good. I mean, I guess
it's probably the nicest of all of them too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have really good like happy hour specials and stuff as well. I would say that, I mean, I don't want to say it's S tier, but I guess something has to be, right?
Okay. For me, this is kind of weird because it's not, neither of these are as classy as Cactus Club, but I would do Jack Astor's, which ironically not in Alberta anymore, but it used to be here.
That's more of an Ontario.
You can only
one,
get
I
it
like
in that. Toronto, but it is my favorite restaurant. I fucking love Jack Astor's. I really wish it never left Calgary. That was my spot. When I went to Toronto, like I made my girlfriend go to it, and she thought it was kind of silly because it's like a premium casual restaurant. But by the end, she knew. They used to do a cake called the Jack Louie, and then they got in legal trouble because it was like a Joe Louie, the hostess thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like fucking big as hell, and it was like red velvet cake, and then there's cream cheese icing in the middle, and they like poured the chocolate on top of it. Fucking so good. Their burgers rock. You can get vanilla Coke there, where they put vanilla extract into your Coca-Cola.
All right.
Jack Astor's top tier for me. And then White Spot.
Oh, dude, White Spot is S tier.
Which, again, not a fucking Edmonton restaurant. I know the ones in Calgary close. Is there a White Spot in Edmonton?
I know there's one in there was one in Hong Kong for a while.
No shit, eh?
Yeah. I don't know if it's still there, but let's see. There's a Triple O's in Hong Kong.
There's a Triple O's
here.
Oh,
no, there was. It's permanently closed now.
Yeah, the two White Spots in Calgary closed, I believe, over the pandemic. It looks like the White Spot at the Four Point Sheraton in Edmonton also closed. But,
God, White Spot is so fucking good, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I love White Spot.
No, it looks like there's still one on Calgary Trail in Edmonton.
Okay.
So I say that counts. So those are my two top tier. Yeah. And then I would put like Cactus Club A tier.
Yeah, I think that's right. White Spot is definitely S tier for me. Cactus Club and Earl's are pretty much the same to me.
Yeah, they have like almost identical menus.
Yeah, and branding's very similar. Like if you took a picture of the interior of a Cactus Club and the interior of an Earl's, I think Cactus Club's maybe like darker and more like moody. Maybe.
Yeah.
But like, it's hard to tell the difference. So I'm going to go with, those are both A tier.
Yeah.
Moxie's, like D tier maybe. I haven't been there for a long
time. Yeah, the one by me closed down.
I feel like it's not great. Joey's is,
I'd say Joey's B
tier. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like, I always think of it as like the third option compared to, actually, I think of it as the fourth option. The third option I think of is Milestones.
Oh, but I feel yeah. Like Milestones, it would be like C tier for me as well.
That's C tier as well.
I'd probably rather go Joey's to Moxie's over Milestones, but like,
yeah, it's Milestones probably the same fell tier. Off a lot. Yeah.
The white chocolate brownie or blondie at Moxie's, yeah, I believe, was pretty good.
What about, so Boston Pizza, did you, I know you like that.
I'd put it B tier if I'm being like real with myself.
It's like fine, I think. Like it's not as bad as people say, but it's not good, obviously, you know?
Brown Social House, do you guys have that?
We have that. That's fine as well. I'd put that also B or C. Like
I'd probably rather go there than fucking Milestones or Moxie's. Oh, yeah. So I'm going B.
Yeah. And then we have one that's kind of popping up more. It's called, I think it's just called like Local or something. Let's see.
Oh,
local public eatery. I think it has three locations in Vancouver now.
Okay.
I
mean, there's places called Local here too, but like, I don't know if I've been to one.
Oh no. I think Edmonton has them too.
Oh yeah. No, we got it. Local public eatery.
Yeah,
it's called
Local Public Eatery. Yeah. So that's pretty good as well. I would put that at B tier.
Mr. Mike's.
I don't think we have Mr. Mike's.
Mr. Mike's originated in BC, but I don't know if you would have it like in Vancouver proper. Because like there is a Mr. Mike's in Dawson Creek. They have a Lodge Night.
Mr. Mike's Steakhouse Casual, and Steakhouse Casual is all one word.
Yeah.
That's really good. I love that. They have one. I think you've told me about this place.
Yeah, no, they have one in the West Edmonton Mall. It's like a good steak. You can get some chimichurri on there, which is nice.
Is this like a level below the Keg?
Yes.
Okay.
Should the keg be in here too?
Yeah, I think so. It's a bit more expensive,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, a bit fancier.
The Keg is so good, dude.
I haven't been in so long.
The Keg is A tier for me.
Okay. Billy yeah, Minor I mean, Pie. I probably haven't been in like a decade. I'd put Mr. Mike's B tier probably. They have one in the West Edmonton Mall, which is like how I fucking remembered it. What else is in the West Edmonton Mall for restaurants?
Oh, man. What's their food court? Yeah. Let's see.
Okay,
they gotta have a big food court. Okay.
They do have a Moxie's in the West Edmonton Mall.
All right.
Old Spaghetti Factory. That's C tier.
Yeah.
They have a Cactus Club there as well.
Okay, they have an Earl's. They have a Moxie's. They have a comedy club in there.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. It's all right. I mean, comedy club's really just as good as the comedian that you see.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a Bubblegum Shrimp
Co. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, here. See all restaurants and pubs. Okay.
Well, they have a thing there
Boston
called
Pizza.
Yeah, Bourbon Street, which is like a street of restaurants in the West Edmonton Mall. There's so many.
There's so many fucking restaurants there. Holy shit.
Yeah, they have like two real food courts, and they also have like the sit down to eat spot that has like Spaghetti Factory in it.
God damn.
Are we missing any key?
I feel like that's most of them.
Pretty much hit it.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure our Discord will let us know, but I like that. That's a good idea.
Do you have State and Main over there?
State and Main. I feel like I recognize that name.
They're pretty good.
No, I don't think we do. I feel like I've heard that name somewhere, but
that's probably a B tier one as well. There's some nice cornbread.
Yeah.
You see, I'm a real Berta boy. I know all these.
You got all these ones, yeah.
I have an opinion on State and Maine. All right.
Oh man.
Well, on that bombshell. Go Canucks, go.
Go Canucks, go.
Make sure to check out back. White Spot and Jack Astor's when you're in Ontario.
Yeah,
we'll be back on the weekend, I think.
I think the weekend once my move is done and I'm
settled.
Yeah,
so Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards like Sunday morning ish, but we'll
there's
see.
There's a chance that the series could be over by our next episode.
That would be great. That would be ideal. Please let that be the case.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
I'm saluting.
For listening and supporting. And we'll see you very soon.
Oh, yeah. If you want to support more, patreon.com/IHateThisTeam. Weekly bonus episodes, including that forthcoming one on the weekend. And access to our Discord. And you support the show.
That's right. That's right.
Woo!
Bye, everyone.
Peace. Skinner! 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 Skinner!